Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Let's begin today with three news stories, some signs of the time. February 13th, Connecticut high school girls file lawsuit arguing that allowing transgender athletes to compete is sex discrimination. This is a case where a transgender girl, which is a boy who thinks he's a girl, along with everyone else in the public school who's playing along with this lie, this boy won the track meet in the girls' competition, beating these three girls in their hopes of track scholarships. With the help of the ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom, they sued for discrimination. Quote, the girls deserve to compete on a level playing field. Forcing them to compete against boys isn't fair, shatters their dreams, and destroys their athletic opportunities. Having separate boys and girls sports has always been based on biological differences, not what people believe about their gender, because those differences matter for fair competition. And forcing girls to be spectators in their own sports is completely at odds with Title IX, a federal law designed to create equal opportunities for women in education and athletics. So, this case creates a real problem for the LGBTQ ideology. Now, what I mean by the LGBT ideology is not just the homosexual community, but this new mainstream secular ideology being taught in all the universities that since there's no God, the logical conclusion is there's no morality, everything comes about by chance. The very idea that there are boys and girls is a made-up human construct. And it's not only a made-up human construct, it is an evil made-up human construct, which has been created by the powerful to keep the oppressed down. This is the critical theory component in LGBTQ ideology. And in this mindset, those who believe there is such a thing as men and women are victims of a false consciousness. Womanhood and manhood are just societal myths. Women are just people with a womb. That's all crazy, but that's where you end up when you eliminate God. This is where people end up when they deliberately want to rebel against God's reality that in the beginning he made them male and female. Now, the problem is that this conflicts with reality. And this case of the three girls conflicts with their lie, the fantasy, the rebellion, that there is no such thing as gender. Because it's very obvious that there are clear differences between men and women, and that distinction needs to be maintained if there is to be any element of sanity in society. So, you'd think that the left would be supporting these girls, but no. They're so intent on doing away with gender, they're so enraged that God created gender, they would rather destroy sports or any institution before they will admit to any differences between a male and female. Or before they will admit that a boy can't be a girl and a girl can't be a boy. The ACLU has not come to the side of these three girls, but to the side of the transgender. This transgender claims to be discriminated against, quote, I am a girl and I'm a runner. I participate in athletics just like my peers to excel, to find community and meaning in my life. It is both unfair and painful that my victories have to be attacked and my work ignored. I will never stop being me. I will never stop running. I hope that the next generation of trans youth don't have to fight the fights that I have. I hope they can be celebrated when they succeed, not demonized. For the next generation, I run for you. So you see in this complete autonomy from God. Man is the measure of all things. Your only authority is yourself. There's no authority coming from without. So what do you think the courts are going to do? Well, I don't think they're going to do anything. They're just going to fold to the culture. They will probably tell these athletic organizations to just come up with a fair plan. Second story. New Jersey passes a law requiring New Jersey public schools to incorporate the contributions of LGBTQ. The law reads, "A Board of Education shall include instruction on the political, economic, and social contributions of persons with disabilities and lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in an appropriate place in the curriculum of middle school and high school students as part of the district's implementation of the core curriculum content, New Jersey standards." When I first read this law, I said, well, that's great. Teacher can teach all of the negative contributions of the LGBT, starting with Sodom and Gomorrah, then AIDS, then the violence in the homosexual relationships, maybe even the final testimony of Oscar Wilde, that he never loved those boys he sexually abused. But no, this curriculum will be approved by the homosexual lobby, Garden State Equality, and it's their way to bring the religion of secular humanism, the religion of immorality, into public schools, where Christianity is outlawed but Baal worship is promoted. This is that devious plan to eliminate Christianity and Christian morals by classifying it as a religion, which is not allowed to be taught in public schools, but then to call atheism, materialism, sexual perversion, science. So, in the words of Andre Peterson from World Magazine, the Garden State joins Illinois, California, and Colorado in mandating that our educational institutions henceforth teach the social, political, and economic contributions of men who like to have sex with men and women who like to have sex with women. So your children will be made to think this is beautiful, especially if they hear it in the fifth grade, then are told it again in the sixth grade, and are reinforced in their opinions in the eighth grade, 10th grade, and 12th grade. Here's the third story. Democratic presidential candidate Peter Buttigieg was at one of his rallies in Colorado. He read the question of a 9-year-old boy asking Buttigieg for advice on coming out as gay. Quote, "Would you help me tell the world that I'm gay too? I want to be brave just like you." Buttigieg invited the boy on stage. The audience broke out in a loud applaud and cheers, chanting "Love is love." The father of this boy said he was very proud of him. Well, first, it's obvious that his parents believe in and are pushing on their son this concept that gender is a choice. And second, this is just another event to demonstrate how Americans, or at least a sizable swath of Americans, have rejected God and God's natural law. On the nightly NBC News on February 12th, there was a feature story by Lester Holt about a transgender boy named Jeremy Lime, who began transitioning at age 2. And the story was presented not as a travesty, but as a beautiful life lesson, a lesson for the rest of us that you can be whatever you want to be, and it's what's inside you that counts. This is where the culture is going. Now, back in December, Ryan Anderson and Robert George with the Christian-based Witherspoon Institute in Princeton put out a public policy piece entitled "Physical Interventions on the Bodies of Children to Affirm Their Gender Identity Violate Sound Medical Ethics and Should Be Prohibited." Well, do you think our culture is going to pay any attention to that? Not likely. The Witherspoon Institute is considered an anti-gay hate group. Americans, as it says in Romans 1:24, are given over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies would be dishonored among them. I have a few other stories, but I'll just have to share them in the YouTube version of this program. Let me just sum this up with 4 points. 4 undeniable, unchanging, unrelenting truths. I've mentioned these points many times before, but they must be repeated continually. First, the LGBT movement will not last. History will not be on their side, as they claim. In 100 years, people will not look back on the trailblazers in the LGBT movement like people look back at Rosa Parks and the civil rights movement. Well, how do we know that? Psalm 34:6. Face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 21. But as for those whose hearts go after the detestable things and abominations, I will bring their conduct down on their heads, declares the Lord God. The LGBT movement is not about biblical justice, like the civil rights movement. It is immoral perversion. And the great error of our day is this belief that LGBT is simply part of human diversity, that it should be accepted, embraced, celebrated. But no. Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It's an abomination. And Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on woman's clothing. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. So God is very serious about the gender boundaries that he has established. And anyone, any people group, any movement that attempts to erase and transgress those boundaries will be cursed by God. The whole thing is going to collapse because God's law and reality eventually come knocking at the door. Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived. God is not going to be mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So the LGBT movement will not last. A second truth is how it's going to be defeated. Given what we know from the Bible about the nature of LGBT and how God deals with it, the defeat of the movement will not be a quiet fading away. That eventually the movement will lose its steam, that the proponents will just lose their motivation for their political agenda, and America will just slide back into the Christian worldview. That is not the way it's going to happen. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen that way, but that is not the scriptural pattern for how God deals with nations that transgress his moral law. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. Or Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 36. As I entered into judgment with your father in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bonds of the covenant, and I will purge from you the rebels and those who transgress against me. In that text, the prophet Ezekiel was comparing how God would judge Israel in 586 BC to how he judged Israel back in 1400 BC. When the Jews came out of Egypt in 1400 BC, the Jews were culturalized into the idolatry and the immorality of Egyptian paganism. Now, you would think some of the time in the wilderness under Moses would have sufficiently reversed these pagan cultural attitudes and perversions. But no, that whole generation coming out of Egypt had to die in the wilderness under the judgment of God. Only their children could enter the promised land. And the prophet Ezekiel is stating that Israel in his day would have to be purged in the same way. That evil generation of Jews in 586 BC could not be reformed. They had to be brought into judgment, and only a small remnant would survive. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom, we would be like Gomorrah. So the only way the LGBT movement is going to end in America is by a judgment similar to what it took to stop Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is the point the Old Testament prophets make, that Israel in her immoral perversions must be and will be judged as Sodom was judged, Jeremiah 23, that the judgment on Babylon would be similar to the judgment that came upon Sodom, Isaiah 13, and even the judgment on Moab would be similar to the judgment on Sodom, Zephaniah chapter 2. Sodom was not an exception, it was an example and a pattern. But you might say, well, wait a minute, that's Old Testament, we're in the New Testament. Here in the New Testament, God can change people by conversion rather than destruction. Well, that's true as far as the minority of people who make up the bride of Christ, the church. But for the majority, the unsaved in a nation, sin must be stopped by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. Case in point, we look back at the early church and often assume that the Christians gradually Christianized the Roman Empire, so that the Roman paganism and the immorality and the idolatry, the corruption, just kind of gradually faded away. But no, reread the history books. As Christianity was growing, God was physically judging the Roman Empire and its people. In 325 AD, Christianity was legalized. 55 years later, in 380 AD, the Emperor Theodosius made Christianity the legal religion of Rome. But Theodosius was not making that decree from Rome. He was making it from Constantinople. The empire had already split. The Goths had invaded the empire. Rome ceased to be the capital in AD 286. The Goths sacked Rome in 410. Every bit of wealth was carried away. People were slain in the streets. The population of Rome decreased to half of what it used to be. The city became a slum. The pagan Roman aristocracy, the pagan temples, the immorality was physically judged by God. It didn't just all simply fade away due to Christian evangelism. But God protected and saved and aided his people by judging the unsaved. See, the LGBT movement, the pro-abortion movement, along with feminism and secularism and critical theory intersectionality, is not going to end quietly. These people won't just silently change or go into hiding. This sin is endemic, and it's only going to be purged by judgment. And this brings me to my third point. It sure looks like it will be the apocalypse itself, prophesied in the book of the Revelation, that will end the evil. What we're seeing now in the empowerment of evil sure looks like the prelude to the apocalypse. These are signs of the last days. This rebellion against gender is historically and morally a people's final rebellion against God in their path of rebellion. And this rebellion is not just local or national, this is worldwide. And this is entrenched. This is institutionalized in universities, in literature, in the popular culture of the media and Hollywood. You know, and this is not some small radical minority. This is becoming the majority view. We even see politicians campaigning on the platform of a brave new LGBT world. And this movement didn't take place in a vacuum. This is the natural consequence of 100 years of an atheistic secular worldview, where laws and morals are the function of human desires. What we're seeing is just the logical outcome of the abandonment of God. And the prophecy is that God will allow sin to come out of the closet right before the day of the Lord. There will be an unprecedented outbreak of evil right before the apocalypse. Then, as it says in Isaiah chapter 26, "For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity." Now, could it be that the unfolding of the book of Revelation is still 100 years into the future? Well, maybe. But I think we're all going to be surprised how fast the world can move in this direction. How just with the election of a leftist president and a left-leaning Congress, you know, the LGBT agenda will be fully mandated, and Christians will be soon persecuted by the godless majority and their leaders. And this brings me to my fourth point. The way we overcome is by refusing to give in. The ungodly hate anyone who morally objects to their lifestyle. It pricks their conscience. It upsets their narrative. I mean, when you live a lie, you must control the narrative. People speaking the truth, saying that the emperor has no clothing, breaks the power of the lie. So our greatest defense and the way we act as salt and light in the culture is to never go along with evil. And of course, as we're standing for truth, God will aid us by physically judging the wicked, but it is still our duty before God to clearly stand for the truth. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19. Before me you will stand, and if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. Christian professor at Shawnee State University told a biological male student who identified as a female that he would not use the student's preferred pronouns due to the professor's religious beliefs. The university said that the Christian professor was creating a hostile environment, that he was discriminating, and he was fired. The professor sued the university in court, stating that his right to religious freedom and free speech was being violated. But the Ohio courts dismissed the lawsuit, saying that the university did not violate the professor's rights or discriminate against the professor, even after, quote, his superiors openly laughed at his concerns during their meetings and compared his view to those of racists. Well, in short, the university and the courts favored discrimination against the Christian worldview. And this is happening all over America. People in my church who work in New York City can be charged with discrimination if they misgender someone. So you see, we are really in a spiritual battle against those who are in rebellion to God. And like our brothers and sisters in Christ in past centuries, we need to take a stand, even if it means we have to lose our job or earthly possessions. But if we lose those things, so what? Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even when faced with death. We are certainly living in a day when Christians will be experiencing great blessings and joy as we have the opportunity to stand for Christ. In an evil day, we will receive the martyr's crown. Revelation 2:10, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested. And you'll have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You've been listening to God and Country Radio, the radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs on various topics is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we are living in one strange world. We pray for faith. We pray for protection. We pray that you'd help us take a stand for the truth so that it would be seen that Jesus Christ must come to have first place in everything. In his name we pray. Amen.